questions that others don't dare. We're dads on the air. We're dads on the air.
And welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, family and parenting, men's and boys' issues. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and our special guest today is Suzanne Venker, who's speaking to us from St. Louis in the United States. Suzanne is a writer, a columnist, and most particularly she's an author, with her latest book being called The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage, How Love Works. Suzanne, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Suzanne, is your book really a secret women's business, or do you see it as good for men too?
That's a great question. It actually, well, two answers to that. Number one, it's definitely good for men too, but I'm going through the women to get to the men, if that makes sense. So if you're not a direct reader of the book as a man, you might very well be the recipient of the woman who has read it, which is kind of the goal. However, that said, I have heard from at least as many, well, not quite as many, but almost as many men as I have women since, you know, in the last 4 weeks or so, telling me their stories of living with their alpha wives and what life has been like for them, and so on and so forth. So while it's directed to women, it's definitely for the benefit of men and husbands and wives.
I think you observe in the book that divorce rates are soaring around the world, and the machinery is there with no-fault divorce, but there seems to be a cultural push for women to get out of marriages. Is that something you've observed?
It is, and I have a whole chapter in the book, actually, that's called Decide to Stay, and it's really about the psychological attitude or the mental attitude that we bring with us when we marry in terms of what our views are on marriage as an institution. What I'm saying there is, since we have all these lax, you know, laws about divorce today, and that you don't have to have a reason per se, but just, you know, you can check the irreconcilable differences box, what I believe that does or has done over time is stripped away the significance of marriage and the magnitude of it, and made it easy in your mind, mentally, even if you don't think that you're thinking along those lines, to think that there's another life out there that is better for you, and you can easily go find it. And of course, this message is also very much fostered in our culture, probably over there as well, certainly in America, that if you're not happy, you know, you deserve to find happiness, go get it. I consider that an extremely destructive view to carry with you as a married person, because marriage is difficult and it's going to take work and commitment. And if you have one foot out the door mentally, you're never really going to succeed at it. Mm-hmm. So I spend a whole chapter in there just talking about getting your head around the idea that divorce is not an option in your head. Like, not obviously it technically is, but to not even consider it an option, and it will change the way you approach a problem in your marriage, because the way, and even psychologists have proven this, that the way you approach a problem, if you think you can always get out of it, is very different from the way you approach it if you think you can't get out of it. It's just a mental thing. Mm-hmm. So I spend a lot of time talking about that in that chapter.
So now, to combat this and to reduce the heartache, how would you summarize your book, Guide to Men and Marriage, How Love Works?
So, well, first of all, let me just tell you the basic underlying, you know, message of the book, which is that women are effectively groomed to be leaders rather than to be wives. So they're going into it, and they're also, many of them, products of divorce. So they're kind of going into it without any real understanding of what's involved. And when you're groomed to sort of be this strong, independent leader, while that's all fine and dandy in one area of your life, it's not an attitude to take with you in marriage, because you need the other person and you need to work with that other person. And so you can't have that same, you know, the tool that you need to get ahead at work, for example, are not the same tool that you're going to need to be successfully married. So that's the underlying message of the book, that you were just dealing with a lot of what I'm calling alpha females, which is just a hard, it's not necessarily career women, but it's basically any role in which you are the boss. So this also applies to mothers at home who often go into boss mode because they're in charge of their kids. And it can be very difficult to switch gears and be a wife when you're, you know, being a mom all day. And I get it. But eventually you're going to have to learn how to do that because no man wants to be bossed around, which is, that's effectively the message of the book. So in terms of divorce, I'm pointing out that the best way to foster a marriage is to think very differently, very counterculturally, opposite of what you're taught to think about marriage if you want to be successful. It's a way of avoiding divorce, or it's basically saying stop before you do anything. Try this first and see if it works.
Success in the office doesn't necessarily that doesn't necessarily guarantee you success in the home, and that's what people should be looking for if they've got their priorities right. Is the success in the home?
Right, and very often it undermines it. It not only does it not apply, but it actually goes so far as to undermine it because they're two totally different roles. And if you have to be able to get out of one and get into another if you're going to pursue that life. And as I say, it's not all just about working. It's even as a mother at home, as I say, you're in boss mode. You have to get out of it if you want a successful marriage. You don't want to go bossing your husband around, treating him like another one of the children, which I think happens a lot. And I don't think that in and of itself is new. I mean, I think that's been around a long time. I'm basically providing in this book a way of saving your marriage or making it better by thinking very opposite of the way women have been taught to think about men and women and love and marriage and all the rest.
In your own background, you've been a teacher of children. That was your professional training. And I think what you're saying is you have to learn to treat your husband differently from the way you might perhaps deal with your children.
Yeah, in fact, I heard from a couple of weeks after the book came out, I heard from one of my daughter's teachers at her school who had gotten wind of it, and she sent me an email saying, this is really interesting because I've definitely, as a teacher, and then she describes all of her duties, of course, always had difficulty getting out of that, and she's just always brought that home and started dictating around at home, just like she does during the day. So there are certain jobs that you have in life that are more or less conducive to this ability to switch gears or not. Like somebody who's a nurse may not be, you know, may not have as hard of a time with it. It kind of depends on what your job is.
You have a lovely way of expressing this when you say you learn the dance. And I think that you give a lot of clues about dancing steps in this book, The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage, How Love Works. Suzanne, we might take a short break now, and I wanted to play some music. I'll dedicate this song to you. It's the only one it could be. It's Suzanne by Leonard Cohen.
Suzanne takes you down to her place near the river. You can hear the boats go by. You can spend the night beside her. And you know that she's half crazy, but that's why you wanna be there. And she feeds you tea and oranges that come all the way from China. And just when you mean to tell her that you have no love to give her, then she gets you on her wavelength, and she lets the river answer that you've always been her lover. And you want to travel with her, and you want to travel blind, and you know that she will trust you, for you've touched her perfect body with your mind. And Jesus was a sailor when he walked upon the water, and he spent a long time watching from his lonely wooden tower. And when he knew for certain only drowning men could see him, he said, all men will be sailors then until the sea shall free them. But he himself was broken long before the sky would open. Forsaken, almost human, he sank beneath your wisdom like a stone. And you want to travel with him, and you want to travel blind, and you think maybe you'll trust him, for he's touched your perfect body with his mind.
And that was Suzanne by Leonard Cohen. And our special guest today is Suzanne Venker, writer, columnist, and author of her latest book, The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage, How Love Works. Suzanne, I just mentioned a few minutes ago about Learn the Dance. Is this something that you think all women can learn how to do a bit better, how to be a wife in the home?
I absolutely do. I think the only stumbling block is our heads, right? It's what we have been taught to believe, or what we've absorbed from our own parents' marriage, or wherever it is that we came up with this narrative in our head about, you know, how a relationship should work and what's right and what's wrong in that regard. If you are resistant to what I'm saying, you're going to struggle to make it work for you. But if you are open to it, I absolutely believe it can work for anybody, no matter what kind of person they are. All they have to do is you know, get open to it. The dance is really a simple thing in the end to understand. It's just something that's not fostered in our culture today because we do not celebrate the differences between men and women. We want to pretend that we're the same, that we're effectively interchangeable, and that ends up causing men and women and husbands and wives to compete with one another for the same life by, you know, pressing upon this whole equality idea. And the truth is, yeah, sure, we're equal in value, but we're hugely different. And if you don't understand and appreciate those differences, you're going to struggle in your marriage. So the whole male-female dance that I explain is how men are programmed to respond to women and how it's in their nature to serve women and to make them happy because they want their wives to be happy. That's really all they want at the end of the day. They don't want conflict. And so you have a way of tapping into that feminine side of you that allows him to then respond positively. And it essentially begins with you. And so that's my argument in the book. And then it's a win-win in the end, but you have to get, why doesn't he have to do it? Or, you know, just kind of, you know, which I consider a very, you know, useful way of going about it. It's like the kid that the parent tells him to do something. They say, why doesn't she have to do it? Or why doesn't he have to do it? You know, you have to move past that and be the bigger person. And when you do, when you are capable of doing that, great things will come.
And at the same time as there are these differences that you've recognized between men and women, do you think women are changing? Because there seems to be something going wrong. You know, there's so much violence now from women. There seems to be a lot in a lot of areas. I just get the feeling that women are changing.
Yeah, so I actually wrote a piece called The War on Men back in 2012, and that was exactly the argument in that book, is that in that article, that women have changed in the past 40 years, and that men have too in response to women, but it was really women who put forth this movement that demanded all of this change. And my argument is that they really threw out the baby with the bathwater, if you will, in their desire to have what they call equal opportunity in the world. But along with that came a complete overhaul of the way women respond to men and relate to men. I don't think that women know or understand men the way they used to back in our mother and grandmother's day. I mean, the kind of advice you would get from your grandmother, for instance, about how to love a man or take care of a man, you would no longer hear. And so, because it's considered outdated or old-fashioned, but the reality is human nature doesn't change. You know, the dance that women and men do is not going to change just because we as a society have changed things up. It doesn't work that way. So I'm not saying you can't go forward with your so-called progress in certain domains, but there's also the reality of human nature that you have to work with. And so that goes back to the whole theory in the book of switching gears. You know, at the end of the day, you have to go into wife mode and learn how to do that job or role or task or whatever you want to call it. Just be a good wife or a better wife, and that it's very different from the kinds of things you've been taught to do in your life. That's kind of the gist of it.
I've heard it said that when men marry women, the women are always hoping that their men will change, and the men are hoping that the women won't change. And
I forget who said that, but yes. And at the end, the person said, in the end, they're both right.
But I think in your book, you actually give some very good tips on little things that if they're annoying the woman in the relationship, it's best not to let them fester. And you provide a very good way of perhaps altering the behavior a little bit so that there won't be this ongoing problem. And I think you use your own example of your husband, Bill.
Yeah, so the overarching theme there is that he used to always tell me to quit, quote-unquote, directing his traffic. That's the way he phrased it. Now, some other husband might phrase it differently, but that's how Bill phrased it, and stop directing my traffic. So he definitely felt like, it's not so much that I would tell him what to do. Well, I mean, I don't know, he might say that.
Yeah.
But it was more of just being in a dictatorial mode all the time. And so... and not separating, you know, what I was doing maybe with my kids with him. I also talk about how it's really hard, you know, if I can do it, anybody can do it, because I actually write books where I make an argument and defend it for a living, and I go on TV and do the same thing. So I'm already in argument mode during the day. So if I could finally learn how to, you know, switch gears, then anybody could, because most people don't do what I do specifically in terms of making arguments throughout the day. I guess lawyers do. I would say I've been asked a number of times what the number one thing that I did that was the most profound, and I would say I have a whole chapter where it says stop saying no. And
yes.
My stock answer to that is just I stopped arguing. I just say okay now, and I just let things roll over me. And unless it's important, you know, if it's very important, of course, I'll speak up. But I learned that there's just a lot of things that I would have an opinion about or say something about that just really didn't matter in the end. And I just didn't care anymore about being right. You know, I just wanted peace. And I found how easy it is to just let go. And if, let's say, he says something and I know that he's wrong, I no longer correct him. Doesn't matter. So what if he's wrong? He'll figure it out. And if he doesn't, he doesn't. What, you know, what's going to happen? But in the past, my knee-jerk reaction would be correct it for him. What, you know, he doesn't want to hear that. He doesn't want to be corrected by me. Unless, it's, you know, as I say, if we're talking about big issues, that's one thing. I'm talking about just banter throughout the day. And so I'd say that was the biggest thing in our house as far as my changing.
There are other things like, you know, not cleaning up the sink after he's done some cooking, perhaps. And,
right.
with those yes. sorts of things.
He still does that to this day. He cleans the kitchen and then he stops with the dishwasher. It'll be hanging out. And he doesn't put the soap in, and sometimes he won't. But he'll do the whole kitchen, but he doesn't do the counters, and he doesn't close the thing and turn it on. So invariably, I have to come and finish the job, which, you know, I've been married. It's only 19 years this year, and this used to bug me to no end. But now I just consider it part of my day. I just go wipe the counters and start the dishwasher.
That's one approach, and I suppose, but the other approach you seem to recommend is not to take it on head on and perhaps go around the issue and suggest, oh, it's
yes.
lovely to have a clean kitchen, perhaps, and that might give him the clue.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, so now I really believe in that whole concept of, you know, you can kill more flies with honey than with vinegar, which is not, wasn't my normal way. It wasn't my mother's normal way. She would spout that off too, but she couldn't do it to save her life. I didn't have any modeling for how to, you know, use a softer approach to get the same result or to get a better result, I guess. And now I do, but I had to teach myself. And sometimes it might be as simple as just being quiet and not saying anything. And believe it or not, even that he'll notice, because men are so used to our nagging or complaining that when you're all of a sudden not, it's very loud to them. You know, our silence is really loud.
Well,
one tactic.
I'll concur with that. And I think you sum up men, you know, in a few words, and I'm not going to disagree, but you say men are simpler in their needs and desires. They just want really respect, companionship, and sex.
Yeah, and I know some people take issue with that because, of course, there's more to men than that. I understand that. You know, you have to have a little bit of tongue-in-cheek in this. The larger point is that men are just very simple creatures with simple needs, and that doesn't mean stupid. That means simple, like, it's really quite endearing. They're very easy. I know they're easy to get along with. They don't have a lot of complaints or a lot of, they're just very different from women in general, and obviously I'm generalizing. So understanding that is really helpful for a woman who has all these feelings and emotions that she deals with on a daily basis, and she talks so much more than men. She's so much more to a woman in terms of the inner workings of her mind than a man. And if you come at your relationship with a man using your MO, you know, as a woman, it's not going to work. You got to use his. You got to relate to the way he relates. And I think we naturally try to do the reverse and get really frustrated when he's not getting it. But if you flip that on its head, it ends up being a lot easier than you think.
And there are a whole lot of tips, very practical tips that you talk about, joint bank accounts, and I think that's a matter of commitment and trust, and perhaps that's where a lot of alpha females fall down. There's a lot for everyone to pick up, and you have a resource center that people can go to after they've read your book?
On my website, my name is SuzanneVenker, SuzanneVenker.com.
That's easy, and people can get a whole lot of further resources there.
Yeah, and you can get to the social media links that way, which is where all the conversation will take place about the book, if that's what you're referring to, yeah.
And we're speaking with Suzanne Venker, who's a writer, columnist, and author of what some people may regard as controversial, The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage, How Love Works. Suzanne, at this point of the program, we ask our guests if they'd like to pick a song. Would you like to tell us which song you've picked and why you picked it?
So it was the first time I've ever been asked to do that, so you stumped me at first. And then I ended up choosing Coldplay's Green Eyes, because that song came about in the early years of my relationship with my husband, and I loved it. Every time I turn it on, I immediately transport to those days in our early relationship, and it's very comforting, particularly with respect to this book, because one of the things that I'm trying to get people to understand is that masculine and feminine energy that you started out with when you got together with your spouse, if you keep the distinct energies alive, even years into the relationship, you will retain that same connection that you had at the beginning. But it's when you lose the masculine feminine piece and you become too masculine, and then you have two masculine energies, that you start to lose that connection, I believe, more sexual or, you know, chemistry really between you. So anyway, that song made me remember back with it, you know, what it felt like when we first met, which I think is always helpful to be able to recapture in your head when you've been married a long time.
Honey, you are a rock upon which I stand. And I come here to talk. I hope you understand. The green eyes, yeah, the spotlight shines upon you. And how could anybody deny you? I came here with a load, and it feels so much lighter now I met you. And honey, should know that I could never go on without you. Green eyes, honey, you are. are the sea. Upon which I flow, and I came here to talk. I think you should know. The green eyes, you're the
And that was Green Eyes by Coldplay, and that was specially chosen for us today by Suzanne Venker, and I'd recommend it not just for alpha females, for beta females, for everyone. The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage, How Love Works, and there are a few tips there for men I can tell you as well. Don't forget, we'd love to hear from any of our listeners. If you can go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, and send us an email, and we'll be in touch. If you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. So it just remains for me now to give a very special thank you to our guest, Suzanne Venker. Suzanne, thank you very much for being on the program today.
Thank you for having me.
It's been fun. And we'll be back next week with another show on Dads on the Air.